David Oyedepo.
We'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this great ministry under whose umbrella we gather tonight. We thank you for the set man in the house and for the great work and the impact all across the nations of the world. We thank you for tonight's gathering, and we pray that your presence will be here to bless every one of us with the word of life. Thank you for all our friends who have gathered from all around to be part of this service tonight. Let no one return disappointed. Amen. Bless everyone beyond our widest imagination. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we give the Lord a big hand, please? You may be seated. Be seated, please. It's my joy to be here tonight and to be with our friend, Dr. Bill Wilson, and his wife. It's a joy and privilege for us to be here tonight. From the first time we met, like he said, I just felt God had ordained that we walk together in this great end time harvest. And we are proud to be part of what the Lord is doing here. We're so excited about it. And to let you know, we really, really love you. And we appreciate the hand of God upon your life and this ministry. I'm here tonight with my wife, Faith. Amen. We also have with us tonight our second son. He's a pastor. He's pastoring in New York, Pastor Isaac. And our first daughter is here, Love Oyedepo. She came along with us from Nigeria. Tonight, I'll be speaking to us on the unlimited power of faith. The unlimited power of faith. And I trust the Lord that going through this will get all of us up on our feet to fulfill God's eternal purpose for our lives. Faith is the most potent force in the whole universe. Faith is the most powerful force in the whole universe. It is our access to a world of unlimited possibilities. Faith is our access to a world of unlimited possibilities. And I'll be sharing with us from biblical principles and from proofs that we have been privileged to experience. Faith without proofs is fake. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When it's void of evidence, then it's not faith, it's fake. Faith is always validated by evidence. There must be proofs or it is fake. And tonight I'll be showing us how this comes about. How unlimited is the power of faith? Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things. Also, we discovered In Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things that you say will come to pass, you shall have whatsoever, unlimited. Whatsoever, whatsoever you believe, you are empowered to deliver. Whatsoever. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, above all, holding the shield of faith, and you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. All. Most believers complain about the devil today. Faith is the answer to all satanic assault. Faith is the answer to all satanic assault. If he said, holding the shield of faith, and you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32 and 33. He said, what shall I more say? For time will fail me to speak of Samson, to speak of David, and who through faith subdued kingdoms. Verse 32 and 33, Hebrews 11. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness. That is, they commanded supernatural dominion. Nations bow to the authority. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the furnace of fire. Subduing nations by the force of faith. Faith will give you your place in any nation, and faith will give you your place in the entire world. The unlimited power of faith. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Overcometh the world. That is, there is nothing that is not overcomable. There is no mountain that is insurmountable. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It gets the job done any day, anytime, and anywhere. Now think of it. Someone came to Jesus asking him to help out because the daughter was at the point of death. And while Jesus was on his way going, they came to tell him, don't trouble the master, your daughter is dead. And Jesus looked around and said, when he overheard them, be not afraid, only believe. That is, faith will recover anything. They say he's dead. He said, relax. Only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Mark chapter 5 and verse 36 to 38. So as horrible as death appears, faith can deal with it. Only believe. We were in Sierra Leone sometimes last year, because I go around, travel about 40 nations every year. And I was there. A woman had a daughter, 8-year-old, that died at 11 p.m. previous night. And doctors signed off the death certificate. Go bury your child. And then this woman learned that I was in town, we were holding a meeting. And so came up in the morning with the dead child at 8 a.m. in the morning. And then we had a leadership meeting going on, and that meeting went on till 12:30 in the afternoon. And there was the woman, attended the leadership meeting with the dead child. And met me out there after the meeting. I was going up for a meeting upstairs with some leaders. They said, my child must not die. So I laid hand on the child and I said, child, you must not die. And went up for my meeting. Came back about 1:32. Met the woman again with the dead child. Now, much more dead than before. He said, my child must not die. Then I lay hands on her, on the dead child, the second time, and I said, I rebuke you, foul spirit of death. Loose your grip of this child. Well, 10 minutes after, life came back. That child was recovered. Be not afraid, only believe. That is simple. Be not afraid, only believe. That's, we're talking about the unlimited power of faith. No limits. It launches you into a world of unlimited possibilities. Unlimited possibilities. It launches you into a world of unlimited possibilities. This is life story. Unlimited possibilities. Unlimited possibilities. Remember, the Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
That is the ultimate that the devil has got, and faith will deal with it. Faith will deal with it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, he said, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. Through faith. Faith has creative forces within it. It's able to create whatever needed to be in existence. Faith has creative forces inherent within it. He said, through faith we understand that the words were created or framed by the word of God. And the things that we now see, they do not come out of things, we do appear. So faith is creative. Faith is creative. It doesn't have to exist before faith can find an answer to it. If it does not there, faith can create it. I don't care what it is that you are bothered about, but tonight, God is here. God is here. God is here. God is here. Faith is your access to a world of unlimited possibilities. I'd like us to look at tonight, where does faith derive its strength from? If faith is that powerful, what is the source of the strength of faith that generates such heart-boggling solutions? Where does it derive its power from? From the story of the woman with the issue of blood, we understand that faith taps into divine virtues to generate supernatural values. This woman reached out to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus said, someone touched me because virtue is gone out of me. Power is gone out of me. And the woman came trembling, knowing what she has done, and Jesus said to her, thy faith has made thee whole. Simple. When faith comes alive, it taps into the power of the Almighty God. And only what God cannot do can resist, therefore, the authority of faith. Because faith taps into the power of God to deliver your desires. Faith taps into the power of God to deliver your desire. The Bible says, with man this is impossible, not with God. For with God, all things are possible. How? Because he's almighty. He's God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for him. So faith taps into the omnipotency of God to deal with the challenges of your life. Here you have a major tank. All you need is let in your pipe, and then you can tap into the substance in the container. God has all it takes, and your faith is your connection. So when faith comes alive, virtue flows from God, and that virtue delivers your supernatural values. Whatever you desire, the power coming from that source delivers it to you. So faith taps into the power of the Almighty God to deliver your desires. Faith taps into the power of the Almighty God to deliver your desires. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So the gospel is converted to power by faith. So when faith comes alive on the word, power flows out from heaven, and that delivers your solutions to you. I saw some things from scriptures and it turned my life forever. One, God is no respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 and 35. But in every nation. Oh, glory. In every nation, everyone that fears him and walks uprightly will command the same order of results. In every nation. And I remember when I saw it, I said, including Nigeria. In every nation. In every nation. There are no third worlds or first worlds in the world of the Spirit. It's one world. One world. God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation, everyone that does it right, we command the same order of results. Everyone that does it right will command the same order of results. I'm blessed. our ministry is blessed beyond description with only one source, heaven. God, the faithful God, the faithful God, the faithful God. We've never done anything on credit. Nothing. Not that we are free from debt, we have never been indebted. We've never been indebted. I got in my Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 12. There is no difference between the Jews and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 12. So God's prosperity plan is universal. It has no preference for where you are from, what race or color you are. No. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The same Lord over all, there is no Jew nor Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all. So I saw immediately that God's prosperity plan is not for some race and others not considered. It's same access for all men. Same access for all men. In chapter 3 of Galatians and verse 28, he said, we are all one in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, free or bound, for we are all one in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Christianity provides the same playground for all men. No one has an advantage over the other. No one is disadvantaged either. Everyone has the same equal access to the source. The same and equal access to the source. And what happens is that when any truth comes alive in you and your faith is able to handle it, power flows to establish it in your life. Power flows from heaven to establish that in your life. Where does faith derive its power from? We understand also that faith is not just believing God. Faith is obeying God to prove that you believe him, so as to commit his integrity to perform. So what faith does is to commit God's integrity to perform. And God cannot lie. The Bible says it is impossible for him to lie. He said he cannot deny himself. So when faith comes alive, God's integrity is at stake. So he rises up to defend it. God rises up to defend his integrity when faith comes alive. Because what faith is saying is, God, you said it and I have done it, now over to you. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 24 and verse 35. His word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119 and verse 89. So faith derives its strength from God's integrity. He cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself. The word says it is impossible for God to lie, just like it's impossible for a man to be pregnant with a child. It is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And as they did it, God's integrity was challenged. The water was turned into wine. Every time you operate by the obedience of faith, you are committing God's integrity to perform. Every time you operate by the obedience of faith, you are committing God's integrity to perform. Faith is not just believing God. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. James chapter 2 and verse 18. Abraham was justified by his obedience. Faith derives its strength by committing the integrity of God to perform, and it cannot lie. Faith, we see, that has promised. Faithful, reliable, dependable, any day, anytime, anywhere. You can count on God's integrity. 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 Faith is not just believing God. Faith is obeying God to prove that you believe him, so as to commit his integrity to perform. Go to the pool called Siloam and wash. And he went, blind man, with clay pasted over his eyes again, double blindness. And he went down there to the pool of Siloam and washed and came back saying, God's integrity was committed to perform. Children, have ye any meat? John 21, verses 5 and 6. And they said, none. He said, cast your net on the right side. And they did, and caught great multitude of fishes. Every time you operate the obedience of faith, you have committed God's integrity to perform. Every time. Every time. Every time you operate by the obedience of faith, you have committed God's integrity to perform. January 17 this year, we began a third service in our church. And what did I see? We opened the year, God said, he will multiply us, we shall not be few. He will also glorify us and will not be small. Is that so? So what do we do? Now, enlarge the place of thy dwelling, for thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left. So I announced to the church, I said, well, 17th of January, we're going to be starting our third service. And the first day, we are 20,000 plus extra. First day, we had 20,000 plus extra. Every time you pray by the obedience of faith, you have committed God's integrity to perform. Yes. It's awesome. It's awesome. Today we have over 24,000 vehicles that park on our premises every Sunday. And that is including 1,000 buses that convey people from various parts of the city. Just by believing the word. Now, people have watered down the subject of faith. It's been turned into mere philosophy. No, faith is not a philosophical force. It's a spiritual force. Faith is not a psychological force. It's a spiritual force. Faith is still delivering results up to tomorrow. Faith is committing God to the challenge. And when God is committed, victory is sure. I wish people just believe what they read. I wish they believe what they hear. I wish they believe what they know. We know so much. Revelation is helpless without faith. 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 Revelation is of no value without faith. The charismatics are in crisis because they have plenty of revelation without faith that will translate into transformation.
Yes, sir.
Revelation is translated into transformation by faith. It is faith. It is faith. It is faith. Back in 1982, I discovered the gateway to living under an open heaven, to commanding financial fortune. March 22nd, 1982. From that time till now, I have not had to pray about money. I've not had to pray about money at all. And from that day till now, I've never failed in my tithing once. Never failed. And my tithing ones, because that is the master key that opens the heavens. Some people think that preaching is a substitute to tithing. They have a problem. Preaching is not a substitute to tithing. There's a world of difference between a preacher and a tither. They are not the same names. I have been a committed and addicted tither since March 82 till date. I'm blessed. Blessed beyond description. The plane we're flying today is the third one we're flying since 1996. Cash paid for. This one cost us $25 million. Paid for. Cash. One of our friends from one of the American universities came in to Covenant University and said to me, how did you get done in 3 years? What took us 30 years to do? I said, faith. And he said, what? I said, faith is a universal currency. It holds the same value in every nation of the world. Because it draws on divine resources. It draws on divine resources. No matter how much revelation you have about prosperity, if you are not a giver, you are not entitled. If you are not a giver, you are not entitled to it. You can preach it from morning till forever. That won't change your situation. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, without doing what I tell you to do? It's fake. If you are not a giver, no matter how hard you preach it, it will never answer. It will never answer. So it's so important for us to know to commit God's integrity requires obedience of faith. Obedience of faith, because God cannot deny himself. Number three, way faith draws his strength. And I'd like us to listen to this very, very importantly. Faith establishes man's companionship with God, and that makes him unbeatable in the conflict of life. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, we read about Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. Enoch walked with God and was translated that he should not see death. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. Now, in Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, he talked about the same reference that Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what does that mean? That means that by faith, Enoch enjoyed God's companionship that empowered him to suspend the law of nature. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, but not Enoch. But he wasn't the only one. Elijah was also a man of faith and was translated. But I was not the only one. No one knew where Moses was buried. The Bible says God buried him where? Nobody knew. He was also translated from the mountain. Now, these were all men of faith. So faith establishes man's companionship with God that empowers him to become unbeatable in the conflict of life. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? So I said here, faith is partnership or partnering with the invisible, which empowers you to dare and deliver the impossible. Remember, Moses endured as seeing God who is invisible. He endured as seeing God who is invisible. He endured. Hebrews 11:27. He endured as seeing God who is invisible. Faith is what establishes your companionship with the invisible God, which empowers you to do the impossible. It empowers you to do the impossible. It empowers you to do the impossible. It empowers you to do the impossible. But it is by faith we walk with God and not by sight. So faith enhances the quality of your walk with God. Men and women of faith are too conscious of God's presence. God's presence is their secret card. That's what puts them over. They are conscious of the presence of the invisible God in daring impossible things. It's very important. By faith, Enoch walked with God and was translated that he should not see death. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he said, the word of them that diligently seek him. Think of it. Those three Hebrew boys said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us from your hand. They were too sure of it. Even if he does not, we will not bow. And then we saw the fourth person appeared in the fiery furnace.
Yes, sir.
Your companionship with the invisible empowers you to do the impossible. Your companionship with the invisible empowers you to do the impossible. Your companionship with the invisible empowers you to dare the impossible. My friend was saying to us about the faith tabernacle. We built it in 1 year. 1 year. God spoke to me about the dedication before we started. And he said, September 18, 1989, we'll be dedicating the sanctuary. That was absurd. I mean, we were still on the drawing board. And I trained in architecture, so I should have some little idea. I knew it is impossible technically, with everything on ground, it's impossible. With everything on ground, it was an impossibility. There was no technical verdict that could pass it. No contractor in the world would take it. 1 year, it was a whole lot of experiment. But because God said it, forget it. Because God said it, forget it.
That's right.
Because God said it, forget it. There is no impossibility with God. There is no impossibility with God. There is no impossibility with God. And as God will have it, as ever, September 1899, 1989, we dedicated the sanctuary. Exact date. Because God said it.
Yes, sir.
I like us to know this, that your companionship with God is the secret of your victory. The Bible said, they believed him and they went forth, and God was walking with them. Mark chapter 16. He sent them to go and they went. And the Bible said, and God was walking with them. Every time you are on the go by faith, God's companionship is guaranteed. Every time you are on the go by faith, if it is by the word that you're on the go, God's presence is guaranteed. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17 down to 20. And verse 20 said, and they went forth as they were commanded, and they preached everywhere, God also walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. Jesus said, he that sent me is with me. My Father has not left me alone, because I do always the things that please him. John 8, 28. I do always, 28 and 29, I do always the things that please him. The Father was constantly with him. He was unbeatable. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all them that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Because God was with him. Every time you are on the go by faith, you have committed God's companionship with you, and that makes you unbeatable. I mean by faith. Every time you are on the go by faith, 1981, the Lord spoke to me against debt. He said, I will bless you as I've said, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6. But that means this is the condition to my blessing you beyond your wildest imagination. But thou shalt not borrow. But, and I made a vow never to. I made a vow never to. I wrote in that vow, if it means we are in the same pair of shoes for years, I will never beg nor borrow. I said, if it means doing without food for weeks, I will never beg nor borrow. He has never allowed that to be. Have a nice time. Lend into nations. I've been in some nations where the president of the nation was appealing to us, please come and help. Please come and help. Please come and help. But thou shalt not borrow. But thou shalt not borrow. We started on our campus with 530 acres of property, but right now we're about 8,000 acres. 8,000 acres with 108 kilometers in perimeter. By heaven's supplies. By heaven's supplies. Yes, sir. It's an awesome God. It's an awesome God. It's an awesome God. It's an awesome God. Because God was with them. God was with them. That's what faith does. It brings you into that supernatural relationship with the invisible God that makes you dare the impossible and damn it. You dare it and damn it because God said it. Where does faith draw its strength from? And we stop there from number four. We read from Romans chapter 11, number 17 to 23, something very interesting here. It's a very interesting picture about engraftment. Engraftment is an agricultural term that takes a branch of a tree and grafts it into another. So the branch now begins to enjoy the life of the new tree to which it's grafted in. Now, in Romans chapter 11, the Bible talks about faith as a medium of engraftment into God. It talks about the wide olive, which we were before we were saved, and now we are grafted into the good olive and have now become partakers of the root and the fatness of the good olive. That we were taken off the wide stalk and grafted into the good stalk. Now we are drawing directly from the nature of the good stalk. And he said it was by faith. Romans chapter 11. Verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. Let's look at verse 17. And if some of the branches were broken off, and thou being a wide olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not thyself against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken up that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou wert grafted in by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now he went on and said, and they, verse 23, also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Now, this is what it means. When faith comes alive on the word of God, you are broken off the wide olive and grafted in to the good olive. So you are drawing directly from the nature of the good olive. You are now a partaker of divine nature. So faith empowers you to partake of divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. So when faith comes alive, the mortal man is grafted into the immortal God. Humanity is grafted into divinity.
Yes, sir.
Mortality is grafted into immortality.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. So whatever cannot be found in the good olive is not permitted to be found in you. There is no cancer in the good olive.
Yes, sir.
So when faith comes alive, cancer is swallowed up in victory. Mm. We had a woman last week in Ethiopia, and this woman had cancer of the womb and was thinking. Wherever she got into, people closed their nurseries. She was smelly. And in the course of that empowerment summit, after the meeting, we prayed for the sick. The stench ceased on the spot. Got back to the hospital the following day, tested absolutely cancer-free. Jesus dead with it. She's been grafted into the good olive. And divine nature has swallowed up the corrupt nature. Death was swallowed up in victory. So when faith comes alive, the corruption in you is swallowed up.
Yes, sir.
The diseases in you is swallowed up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The oppression on your mind is swallowed up. Amen. Depression in your life is swallowed up. So faith is not just believing God. Faith is being engrafted into God, thereby partaking of divine nature that defines your future. It's amazing. They were broken up because of unbelief, and you were grafted in by faith. He said, you better stay grafted, stay grafted, stay grafted. Stay grafted. Next year will make it 30 years I came into ministry, and I've never been out of any service on earth ground. I've never lost one ounce of energy. Man, I'm grafted. I'm grafted. I'm visibly grafted into God. I am using divine energy. I'm using divine energy.
Yes, sir.
I came in from Uganda on Saturday, had three services on Sunday, and flew out Sunday evening to be here in Chicago last night. I'm grafted. Amen. When you are standing in faith, you are spiritually grafted into God. And all of the resources in God begins to flow through into you. All of the resources in God begins to flow through into your life. All of it. All of it. If anyone is sick in his body here tonight, by this revelation of divine engraftment, I command your supernatural deliverance and healings right now in the name of Jesus. Take it now in the name of Jesus. Take your healings now in the name of Jesus. Take your deliverance now in the name of Jesus. There was a man by name Daniel. Daniel went down to the den of lions and he could not be consumed. Mortality has been swallowed up of immortality. The Bible said Daniel believed in his God, so he could not be eaten up by lions. Now, by the act of faith, he was now grafted into God. He now had divine nature that the lions could not consume. And he stayed all night with the lions in the den and came out to testify by himself. And to show they were not fake lions, when they threw in the enemies, before they landed, the lions were hungry. They ate them up for free. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 23. God delivered, his servant that believed in him. He believed in his God. He believed in his God, so he could not be consumed by lions.
Yes, sir.
Whatever consumes the world has no power to consume you. When you are standing in faith, there is economic depression today. You don't have to know it. You don't have to experience it.
Amen.
We are not experiencing it back in Nigeria. We are not. We are not aware of it. Now the economic depression is biting, and we're building a second university, which is far more beautiful than the first one. Far more beautiful than the first one. On a 1,400 acres of property, all infrastructure provided, all buildings up, housing estate for everybody. In the midst of depression. In the midst of depression. Because when faith comes alive, you are grafted into God. Only what can consume God will consume you. So you are not in problem because of the depression. You are in problem because of your disconnection. You are in crisis because of your disconnection. You are in crisis because of your disconnection. If you read from Malachi chapter 3 and starting from verse 6, downward, I'm the Lord, I change not. You departed from me, that's why you're in crisis. You come back on course and then I'll restore you. Prove me now. I'll open you the windows of heaven. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not. Serveth him not. For the day cometh that shall burn like an oven. So the economic meltdown is a biblical term. The day cometh, Malachi chapter 4 verse 1, that shall burn like an oven, and all the proud, no matter where they live, in the east, in the west, first world, second world, third world, all the proud, and not that think that God is irrelevant, they shall be as stubble. And they that come shall burn them, leaving them with neither root nor branch. But upon you that fear my name, shall the Son of righteousness shall arise. Then you shall be growing up when everything is burning down. So you are not in problem because of economic crisis. You are in problem because you are spiritually disconnected. You are spiritually disconnected from the covenant. You are spiritually disconnected. You are spiritually disconnected. That's why. Last Sunday, we dedicated 100 brand new buses, each one sitting about 90 people. 100 brand new buses last Sunday. Debt-free. 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 Church should be told, as long as you are disconnected, you will remain frustrated. As long as you are disconnected, you will remain frustrated. Where you live is irrelevant. How you live is what matters. Are you walking in the covenant or just having fun in church? Are you just being religious or are you a man or a woman of faith? It's a world of difference. If you will be truly connected, it's impossible to be frustrated. He said, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. So it is, darkness is not the problem of light. No. Light should be the one that's giving problem to darkness. If your light is, if you are truly walking in the light, darkness will respect you. Darkness will respect you. Darkness will respect you. Darkness will respect you. The truth is, we've never looked up to anywhere else other than God up to tomorrow. And he has never failed once. I'm glad to let you know tonight, you are beginning a new way of living. If you commit to this, it's a brand new way of living altogether. From all I've said, we can come to conclude, faith is the master key to a world of signs and wonders. It is the master key to a world of signs and wonders. He said, whosoever believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Unlimited power of faith. And greater works than Jesus. Do you imagine Jesus being challenged by economic depression? He said, whosoever believes in me, John 14, 12, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do. Because I go to my Father.
Yes, sir.
Greater works. Greater works. Jesus could not have been complaining about economic depression forever. He was master. Master of the wind, master of the storms, master. Master any day. Master any day. It's time to check where you are standing, but that will determine the outcome of your life. It's time to check where you are standing. Faith is the gateway to all of our inheritance in Christ. Faith is the gateway to all of our inheritance in Christ. A man can receive nothing except we give him from above, but let him ask by faith, or let him not think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Faith is it. And like I said, faith is not just believing God. Faith is obeying God to prove that you believe him. Faith is obeying God to prove that you believe him, and then you can be sure of getting his attention and getting your blessings. Let me show you quickly seven redemptive package we have in Christ. We have a sevenfold heritage in Christ that Jesus obtained for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Sorry, Revelation 5 verse 12. It shows us the 12-fold heritage that we have in Christ. And it covers all areas of human needs. And that is accessible by faith. Verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive for us, what? Power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessings. Seven of them. Jesus died to release those sevenfold blessings on the redeemed. And it covers all of our needs. Power. That makes you rule in the midst of your enemies. Power. It makes you to rule in the midst of your enemies. Riches. It gives you a voice. Riches gives you a voice in the world. Because the voice of a poor man is not heard. Riches gives you a voice in the world. And it talks about wisdom. And by wisdom, kings reign and princes decree justice. And we have been redeemed unto our God as priests and kings to reign on the earth.
Yeah.
So we have access to God's order of wisdom. And then it talks about strength. That is health and vitality. Health and vitality.
Yes.
Health and vitality. Health and vitality.
Yes.
Talks about honor. Talks about glory and talks about blessings. All of these summarize all of human needs forever. Jesus died to connect you and I to this sevenfold redemptive package. And I strongly believe that with your faith coming alive, you don't have any problem. You don't have any problem. Let me say this to you. God has ordained you and I in redemption for continuous and unending progress. He said the path of a just man is as a shining light, and it shines more and more and more and more to the perfect day. More and more and more and more. So you are not there yet. You are not there yet. He said, if you do all I tell you to do, I will set you up on high above all nations.
Right.
Above all nations. Not above your nation, above all nations. Above all nations. Thank God for where you are. But God still has higher places for you. All you need to do is to stay committed to the revelations that you are receiving by the obedience of faith, so you can keep changing level. From glory to glory means from faith to faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. From faith to faith and from glory to glory means the same thing. Because if thou believe, you see the glory of God. That's what Jesus said to them at the graveyard of Lazarus. If you believe, you see the glory of God. And then the Bible talks about the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. From faith to faith. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, it said, we are changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. So from faith to faith is what engenders from glory to glory. So build your faith. The stronger your faith, the higher you fly.
Yes, sir.
Build your faith. Build your faith. Build your faith. Build your faith and you watch how you're going up on daily basis. Now, let me say this to you. To the glory of God, I've never known a better last year in the last 30 years. Every year has always been a plus on the previous. That is God's ordination for all of us who have been justified by the blood of Jesus. We have been justified to go from glory to glory.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. He said, the path of a just man is as a shining light, and it shines more and more and more and more and more unto the perfect day. Can I tell you this? This year alone, we've planted over 1,500 churches. This year alone, we have planted over 1,500 churches. This year alone. This year alone. Every year, something unusual happens to make the previous year look like nothing. Every year. Every year. We have 10 secondary schools that are going to open this October. 10. 10 new ones. 10 new ones across 10 different cities. Now, you see, God has it. All it requires is faith to access it. God has your package with your name on it. All you need is faith to access 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 it. I checked something up as I went about with pilots here and there, and my friend knows what I'm talking about. You have your checklist, and then the captain will be calling, the co-pilot will be checking, button this, button that, before you can take off. If faith is so powerful, why are we so helpless? If faith is this powerful, why are many people grounded who claim to be operating by faith? I'd like us to check just a few of the buttons that must be turned on for your faith to fly. For your faith to fly, certain buttons must be turned on.
Yes, sir.
Certain buttons must be turned on. And I will try to just do that in a few minutes. Certain buttons must be turned on for your faith to fly. Faith is what makes high flyers in the kingdom. But where are so many people grounded who claim to be operating by faith? I'll show you some of those buttons. On our airplane, I think they have about 48 things they check before the plane can fly. But I'll show you just about four here tonight. Amen. What is it that empowers your faith to deliver?
Yes, sir.
Where must you stand? What buttons must be on for your faith to fly?
Yes, sir.
What buttons must be on for your faith to fly? And I'm saying this with all passion, because I have not seen faith failed once.
Yes,
I keep telling our people, my faith works. You should ask yourself why your faith is not working. My faith has been working before I met you. So it's not your presence that makes it work. So why is your faith not working? Check it. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves. Whether ye are in the faith or not. So there is self-examination to be carried out. What are the things that makes it work? And then we can go on from there. Now, because faith is a spiritual force, it only works for the spiritual people. Faith does not work for everybody, it works only for the spiritual. Faith works only for the spiritual. Check number one, the button that must be on. Are you actually a spiritual man or just a church man? Are you a spiritual man or a church man? The Bible said, a carnal man does not receive the things of the Spirit. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, no natural man has access to spiritual blessings. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. That's why the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace, and to be carnally minded is death. Romans 8, 6. There were some vagabonds, the sons of Sceva. They called on one demon-possessed person, and they were trying to practice the principles of Paul. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. And the devil said, hold on a minute. Wait for me now. Wait for me now. And he pounced on them and tore them, and they fled out naked. Because faith only answers to spiritual people. It's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to be spiritual. You saw the Corinthian church? He said, are you not carnal? He said, I cannot speak to you as to spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes. They were born again, but they were carnal. They were carnal. It's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to be spiritual. Are you spiritual? Now, the apostles were there, disciples were trying to cast out the devil, and they couldn't. And they came to Jesus. Why could we not cast this out? He said, because of your unbelief. Then he went on in verse 21 of Matthew 17. He said, however, this kind needs higher level of spirituality than you had. It doesn't go out without prayer and fasting. You are just jesting all over town. You need to be spiritual to take command of this. So it's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to be spiritual. I cannot remember 1 week that passed in my own little life, and to the glory of God, 1 week that passed without a fast. And I mean 29 years consistent. To brace my spirit, man. Though our outward man wears out, our inner man is constantly being renewed. To be clothed upon by our body that is from heaven. It takes some level of spirituality for your faith to deliver. Your faith will deliver to your level of spirituality.
Yes, sir.
Your prosperity will deliver to your level of spirituality. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in it, even as thy soul prospereth. So your spirituality is what defines the limits of your prosperity. Your spirituality is what defines the limits of your prosperity. 3 John verse 2. It's so important to mind spirituality, a genuine walk with God, to be a man of the Spirit. Because faith is a spiritual force, it delivers only in the lives and in the hands of the spiritual people. You remember Gehazi? They gave him the rod, and he didn't answer. Why? He was a carnal son of the prophet. He was. It didn't work. He came back and said, he wicked not. Elijah said, you have spoiled my rod. Bring my rod for me. And Elisha went there, and the child came back to life. It will not deliver in the hand of Gehazi. His eyes was on money. He was a thief. His eyes was on money. Even though he was living in the same room with the prophet, he was a kind of boy. So he could not deliver in his hand. Today we have so many carnal people in the charismatics. Church has become a mere society to them. They live anyhow and they want things to still work. They live anyhow. New birth has no more meaning by the way they live. Faith will not deliver beyond your spirituality level. So you make, you watch out. Watch out. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. That's so important. That's so important. Flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life. Flesh and blood cannot. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life. If faith is so powerful, why are there so many helpless people in church? Carnality is one of the greatest undoing of our journey with God. Number two button that must be on is a commitment to walking in the truth. A commitment to walking in the truth. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Faith is not waiting for God to walk. Faith is putting God's word to work. So as to commit God to make good his promise. Faith is not waiting for God to work. Faith is putting God's word to work. So as to commit God to make good his promise. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. So whatever you are believing for, the first question is that, am I walking in the truth regarding this subject? Oh Lord, I'm believing you for peace in my home. Do you really love your wife as Christ loves the church? Oh Lord, I'm believing you for peace in my home. Are you really subjective? Are you really subject to your husband? Because there is no American Christianity. There is no European Christianity. There is no African Christianity. It is either Christianity of the Bible or it's fake.
Oh, yes.
Is it that Christianity of the Bible or it's fake?
Mm.
Is it that Christianity of the Bible or it's fake?
Yes, sir.
And I can tell you this, they are new every morning. The Bible will never become outdated.
Mm.
The Bible will never become outdated. Oh Lord, I want you to intervene in my finances. Are you a tither?
Yes, sir.
Because the scripture cannot be broken, he will not intervene contrary to his word. Oh Lord, strengthen me. Okay, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. Are you in church?
Mm.
No, I don't have time. Okay, you don't have time for strength. So carry on with your weakness. Because it is upon Mount Zion that you are serviced.
Yes, sir.
Your system is serviced. So it can be energized.
Yes.
If you are not there, Psalm 84 verse 7, if you are not there in Zion, you can't go from strength to strength. You go from weakness to weakness. It's all there. Am I walking in the truth regarding what I'm asking God to do? Oh Lord, I want great children. I want you to make my children great. Okay, are you giving me great examples? No. Because, like Father, God said to Abraham, I know him that will command his children after him. They will follow his steps.
Yes.
He will. So there is nothing you are asking for that does not leave you with a responsibility. If you are not walking in the truth of your expectation, it will never become a reality. It may never become a reality. Faith is not an enchantment. No. Faith draws on the finished work of Christ when you are walking in the truth.
Yes, sir.
So important. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Make sure your truth button is on. Make sure your spirituality button is on. And then you are ready to go. Then you are ready to go. And then, of course, number three button that must be on is a good conscience. Faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith and have made a shipwreck. So you are going to suffer a crash when there's no good conscience. Faith delivers on good conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Faith delivers on good conscience. Faith delivers on good conscience. That's why I said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Faith delivers on good conscience. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, he said, holding faith, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, pure conscience. Paul the apostle said, wherein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience that is void of offense, both before God and man. So you need to exercise yourself. 24 Acts of the Apostles, verse 16. Exercise yourself to have a conscience that is void of offense. Void of offense. Void of offense.
Yes.
It's so important for us to know that when faith is operated outside a good conscience, it does not deliver. It does not deliver. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. He said, the heart of man is deep and definitely wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart and I try the reins to give to everyone according as his way shall be. So God delivers according to the state of your heart. So whatever reaches your hand is after the appraiser of the ungoings in your heart. Is your conscience in order? Are you wishing somebody is evil? Are you reading negative meanings to the move of God in your church? Conscience, good conscience, good conscience, good conscience. Men of faith always mind their conscience. They always mind their conscience. They are constantly, constantly checking themselves. Am I on or am I off? We must turn on the good conscience button if we must make the most of our journey. And then, of course, number four or five is the love button. Faith works by love. Faith works by love, which means faith does not work when love is not in place. And I want to say this here, the love here is not just love for somebody next to you. It is the love of God that overflows to those around you. Are you truly in love with God, or are you just having fun with him? Are you truly in love with God? That is the first and the great commandment. When that is in place, then faith delivers. Every faith man is a love man. I mean, every genuine faith man is a love man. Behind the workings of faith in their life is their love for God, which overflows naturally to those around them. Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? And Paul was a man of dangerous faith. Even the devil acknowledged it. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? He was a man of dangerous love and dangerous faith. Paul was stoned to death and they dragged him out of town to plan his burial. And while they were still planning, he jumped up. He said, what's going on here? Paul was so much in control. He said, whether to go or not, I don't even know what to choose. I'm between two opinions. Yes, well, for me to go is profitable for me, but to stay here is more profitable for you. So for your sake, I will stay. Yes, so Paul was in command of death. Yes, come on. Paul was what? He was in command of death. Yes, and he was a man of love. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Now see, Paul was a man of love, and he was a man of unusual faith. His faith was just intact. Any day. So the depth of your love for God is what determines the level to which your faith can deliver. Do you have a heart for him? Your heart for God will determine how much your faith can deliver. How much your faith can deliver. How much your faith can deliver. And I'll close at this point. Your focus button must be on. Focus, 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 focus. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, God showed me something years ago, and it was the most profound lesson I've learned about focus. He said, my son, you have two eyes. Now you make one to look up and one to look down. Let's try it now. Can you make one of your eyes to look up and one to look down? I tried it. It didn't work. And God said to me, anytime you are looking unto man, never claim to be looking unto me. Now, Psalm 34 and verse 5, they looked unto him and they were lightened and their faces were no more ashamed. He said, but if you will look up to me, you will never be ashamed. Hear me. Faith is either absolute or is fake. He said, my soul, wait thou only upon the Lord, for thy expectation is from him. Psalm 62, verse 5. Wait thou only upon God, for thy expectation is from him. Wait thou only. You can't be looking up and be looking down at the same time. You are either looking up or you are looking down. And I tell you, it works. Sometimes when we're building Covenant University, we needed about $3 million in 5 weeks. And I knew if I tell the people, their faith will be under stress. So I told nobody, didn't tell no pastors, didn't tell no council, didn't tell no church. But we got it all. We got it all. Without telling anybody, anywhere. We got the $3 million net under 5 weeks.
Yes.
God has it. What's your problem? God has it. God has it. What is your problem? As long as you are walking any day. So the depth of your love for God is what determines the level to which your faith can deliver. Do you have a heart for him? Your heart for God will determine how much your faith can deliver. How much your faith can deliver. How much your faith can deliver. And I'll close at this point. Your focus button must be on. Focus, 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 focus. I will lift up my eyes to the east from whence cometh my help. Now, God showed me something years ago, and it was the most profound lesson I've learned about focus. He said, my son, you have 2 eyes. Now you make one to look up and one to look down. Let's try it now. Can you make one of your eyes to look up and one to look down? I tried it. It didn't work. And God said to me, anytime you are looking unto man, never claim to be looking unto me. Now, Psalm 34 and verse 5. They looked unto him and they were lightened, and their faces were no more ashamed. He said, but if you will look up to me, you will never be ashamed. Come on. Hear me. Faith is either absolute or is fake. He said, my soul, wait thou only upon the Lord, for thy expectation is from him. Psalm 62 verse 5. Wait thou only upon God, for thy expectation is from him. Wait thou only. You can't be looking up and be looking down at the same time. You are either looking up or you are looking down. And I tell you, it works. Sometimes when we're building Covenant University, we needed about $3 million in 5 weeks. And I knew if I tell the people, their faith will be under stress. So I told nobody, didn't tell no pastors, didn't tell no council, didn't tell no church. But we got it all. We got it all. Without telling anybody, anywhere. We got the $3 million net under 5 weeks.
Yes.
God has it. What's your problem? God has it. God has it. What is your problem? As long as you are walking in the truth, you can afford to take your rest. Look up to God and he knows what to do. He knows what to do. God knows what to do. Many, many years ago, we were going to pay our staff. And I said to my account man, I said, at 2 p.m. today, you're paying everybody. And I've warned them never to tell me there is no money. Don't ever let it come out of your mouth in your life. That's the last day you walk here where you say. So he said, yes, sir. Now, there was no money physically. But by 1:30 p.m. of that day, somebody straight from somewhere to somewhere, from somewhere to somewhere, came in and delivered more than was needed to pay the workmen at 2 p.m. So the young man came to my office. We have money. I said, we had it before. You didn't see it. You didn't see it. Look up, for your redemption is nigh. Look up, for your redemption is nigh. God is giving you what no man can give to you. God can use any channel that he chooses to use. We were told that at the beginning. Focus. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Focus. God will not share his glory with anybody. Focus. Focus. You need to be focused. You need to be focused. I said to God 3 things. God, whatever you cannot do in my life, let it remain undone. God, whatever you cannot give me, may I never have it. 3, God, wherever you can't take me to, let me never get there. That is why God is taking me to places.
Yes, sir.
Wherever he cannot take me, I'm not interested. Whatever he cannot give me, I will never need it. Whatever I cannot do, let it remain undone. And I tell you something, when you settle with God, he settles the issues of your life.
Yes, sir.
When you settle with God, you have committed him to settle the issues of your life. That's the way it works. God has never changed. God will never change. It's always there. My prayer tonight, therefore, is that every one of us here, we see the need to feed your faith, to build your faith, and to enhance the quality of your walk with God. That is all you need to be all that God has in stock for you. That's all you need. That's all you need. Faith has only one source, and that source is the Word. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you have direct access to it. Number two, there are helpers of faith. What do I call them? Helpers of faith. They open your understanding to the truth that helps to boost your faith. It prepares your faith to come alive, like Philip was doing to the Ethiopian eunuch. So there are interpreters of the truth that helps to enlighten your understanding of the truth, which causes faith to rise.
Yes.
They are there. In every generation, there are men and women of faith who helps you to see what you could not see on your own. They take the same scriptures and open the seals, and then you can see them. They are there. And the other booster of faith is testimonies. Mm. Testimony is a booster of faith.
Yes, sir.
Testimony is a booster of faith. A few things I've heard from God, I heard it through men. I heard a lot of them from Kenneth E. Hagin, plenty of them from Smith Wigglesworth, a lot of them from Kenneth Copeland, a lot. There are men and women of faith planted in every generation who are catalysts of faith.
Mm.
They help to open you up to the things that God has in stock for you. And I tell you something, you can't do without them. You can't do without them. They are put in the body for the perfecting of the destinies of the saints. For the perfecting of the destinies of the saints. Till we come to the unity of faith, unto a perfect man. So we need the ministry gifts. We need to celebrate them. We need to celebrate them. We need to celebrate them. Because you don't only get informed, you get imparted. He said, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. Ezekiel 2:2, sorry. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet. You need these ministry gifts to build your faith to the utmost level that God intends it to be. I can't tell you where my life will be today without those men. Amen?
Yeah.
And I know a number of people today that are drinking and sucking from the things that God is speaking through us all around the world. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
One of those years I came into America and I got back home. My wife asked me, what did you come back with? I said, come to my library and see. I opened the first box, books, second books. He said, what else? I said, that's all else. I said, the things in this book can make me manufacturer of the things I will have bought. Because I know knowledge is power. Revelation can be revolutionary.
Yes.
If you can catch a revelation of great men, it brings the greatness in you out.
Yes.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes. I'm saying here tonight, therefore, that faith does not drop on your lap. You have to work at it.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Faith is no cheap talk. Faith is hard work.
Yes.
Let us therefore labor to enter into that race. For the word of God is quick and powerful. So we labor in the word to generate faith. We labor in the word, the Bible directly, and anointed resource materials. We labor in the word to generate faith.
Yes.
I've told people severally, if you read my book, Understanding Financial Prosperity, and you decide to plug into it, you will master it. You will be free from financial crisis permanently. You'll be free from it. Because he set me free from it. I was sharing from the depth of my heart in it.
Mm. Mm.
It works.
Mm.
It works. Most of us are not buying the correct things. We are not buying the right things. We're just wasting our resources. Buy from people that have the proofs.
Yes, sir.
Buy from people that have the proofs. Buy from them that have the proofs. Go to them that sell what you need and buy. Buy the right thing from the right sources. Then you live your life. I wanted to learn prosperity. I went to Copeland. He has it.
Yep.
He has the proofs.
Yep.
And I sat down 3 days in a fast.
Mm.
And light sprang from heaven. and turned my life around. I knew when it came. I shouted, yeah, I can never be poor. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. My prayer for you tonight is that you won't sit down there waiting for it to happen. Go and make it happen. Go and make it happen. Go and make it happen. We have deep, deep teachings coming from this altar. Deep, deep teachings coming from here day and night. Go and make it happen. Get those CDs. Get those big books. Go and make it happen. I was coming here at the last minute. I just said, hey, we don't have no books we're bringing along. So get something quickly for me. They rushed to get it for me when the plane was about taking off. Mm. Just in case somebody somewhere who needs some light that will help him break forth to the next level.
Yeah.
You need it.
Yes.
If I can come from Africa to be telling you about prosperity, how it works, and then you should just sit down and tell yourself bitter truth. I can't keep waiting for these things. I must wake up to start working them out. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. It will never work. It's time to work it out. 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 Please get up on your feet, everybody. Oh, glory to God. Yes. Come on, give the Lord a big, big hand, everybody. Amen. Just before the prophetic blessing tonight, I believe, is coming heavy on everyone. No one here tonight with any form of sickness will return home without being healed. Amen. Jesus the healer is in the house. I can't heal nobody. I can't raise no dead, but Jesus does. I've never lost virtue praying for the sick. That means it wasn't my virtue healing them. If it were my virtue, I would have been virtueless forever. But when I pray, his virtue flows to heal. And I go back home to go and sleep. Somebody will be healed here tonight. Just before we do that, may I please request, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That means new birth is the number one button that anybody must turn on for his faith to ever produce. If you are here in this service tonight and all the overflows, and you know that you are not saved, this is one chance you got. One chance in your life that will turn your story around forever. No matter your background, I was born inside the church building, but I wasn't saved. And because my mother told me that story, I became very religious headed. Anybody tells me to be saved, I say, shut up, I was saved from heaven. It was mere religion, nothing. Even my mother would get back to me, I wasn't saved. She went for early morning prayer and then came into labor and then, you know, gave birth. But that didn't make her saved. You are here tonight, you want to be saved. I gave my life to Christ 41 years ago. 41 years after, the story is getting sweeter. You can't beat salvation. You can't fake it. You are either saved or you are not saved. Everyone in this room tonight that wants to give his life to Christ, I'd like to pray with you in one moment. Please get seated, everyone. Wherever you are, you want to be saved tonight. In the overflow, in the main sanctuary, may I request that you stand to your feet so we can pray with you in a moment, and you shall be saved. Jesus said, "Except you." Well, praise the Lord. Shall we all rise, please? Shall we all rise, please? This is what happens. Every time you see Jesus saves, then he will do anything. He said, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will save. Then every other thing will follow. Every time you see salvation, any kind of manifestation is available. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him over to us, how much more freely give us all things that are there with him. whatever thing you need, because you could see him save people, that is settled forever. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. He said, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will deliver. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will rest in his love. Wherever he saves souls, he will heal anybody.
Yes.
He will set free any captive. Yes. This is your night. How many believe that faith is up to it?
Hallelujah.
If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things, all things, all things, all things, all things are possible to him that believeth. In our ministry, we have stopped counting, but we've seen so many dead raised to life. We saw one after 2 days in the morgue. After 2 days in the morgue, Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up after 2 days in the morgue. Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up. Someone is here tonight. They have given you a negative medical verdict on your case, but Jesus is turning it around right now. Jesus is turning it around right now. The miracle is not just taking place on this ground. Many are taking place here. But many will experience Jesus as you go to bed tonight. We saw a woman in Uganda. She had an accident. All the people in the vehicle died, only herself remaining. But she had broken ribs, spinal problem, and she was just waiting to die. But she came to a meeting like this in the night. She couldn't turn anywhere. When she lays down, face down, she couldn't move until somebody comes to pick her up. But in the night, Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up. At the meeting, the pain ceased. But in the night, the great physician showed up and fixed the bone. Fixed all the bones. Yes, she came out the following night, at the second night of the meeting, shouting and screaming. Jesus had walked on her and set her free. Somebody's free here tonight.
Yes,
that young man, the cripple at the beautiful gate, looked unto Peter, expecting to receive something. Is someone expectant here tonight? Lift up those hands. Whatever your expectations are, just make it known to Jesus. Say it to him in your own language. Jesus, I want you to touch me tonight in this area, in that area of my life. I want to experience the reality of faith in my life. Jesus, I believe you and I believe your word. I believe my warfare was accomplished at Calvary. I take my healing tonight. I take my deliverance tonight. Come on, speak to him right now. Speak to him in your own words. Speak to him in your own words. This is one night you will never forget in your life. The healing power of God is in the house. The deliverance power of God is in the house. Whatever men have called impossible, Jesus is turning it around tonight for a testimony. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now lift up those hands to heaven as I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight for everyone under this anointed service. Whatever be anyone's expectation, let it be turned to a testimony right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every foul spirit of infirmity. I rebuke the spirit of cancer. I rebuke the spirit of blindness. I rebuke the spirit of deafness. Whatever is holding anyone captive right now, I command your liberty. Be set free in the name of Jesus. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Whatever your expectations are tonight, I command that they return home with you as testimonies in Jesus' name. Receive them now in the name of Jesus. Whatever you could not do before you came to this service tonight, maybe you could not turn your neck, you could not move any part of your body, or you are suffering pains in one area of your body or another, I command instant healings now in the name of Jesus. your body, I command them to dissolve now in the name of Jesus. Whatever is threatening anyone's life, any terminal disease in anyone's body, I command your deliverance now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Whatever door has been closed against you in your career, in your business, I command those doors to be reopened in Jesus' name. I speak peace to your families. I speak peace to your marriages. I speak restoration to your broken home. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift up those hands and wave it to heaven and celebrate Jesus.